You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Marlins baseball. We bring in our Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. And Joe, it's all about Giancarlo Stanton. As we know, I've seen some tweets recently talking about how the Giants expect a decision from Stanton by the end of the week. I'm hearing, you know, they continue to view the Dodgers, not the Cardinals, as the biggest threat. What's the latest here on Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, the only thing that seems to be definitive is we might have a little bit of closure to the biggest story of the offseason. Yeah, there's still some confusion, though, Alexa, because I'm not completely sold. From what my understanding is, when the Marlins get a deal, let's say the Marlins and Giants work out a deal. Once that deal is in place, they bring it to Stanton, and they just say a deal's in place, not saying, hey, do you approve of all the players in there? But would you go to San Francisco? And he has 72 hours to think about it. Now, there's a little bit of confusion if that's indeed where it is. Yes, there are stories that frameworks of deals are in place or the structure of a deal is in place, but I'm not totally convinced that the definitive deal with all the particulars is finalized, putting it in Big G's hands so he could say, hey, you know, let me think about it. So, but it was interesting, I thought, the comments coming out of San Francisco from Evans, the GM, and, you know, just kind of him, you know, kind of, you know, saying that the meeting went very well, was very professional, kind of went the way I thought it would, knowing how thoughtful Stanton is and how he's taken this, you know, very seriously. Because Stanton asked those same questions before signing, you know, with the Marlins in 14. You know, he wanted to see a clear vision of the direction, where this thing could be headed, and I'm sure he just wanted to get that from the Giants and from the Cardinals. Now, the mystery of this whole deal, Alexa, are the Dodgers. All I'm hearing is there's nothing seriously being discussed between the Marlins and the Dodgers, which, okay, people are saying, well, that means they're just kind of waiting it out and then swooping at the end. Well, if that deal's already in front of Stanton, well, the end could be right there. You know, this isn't a free agent situation. This is a trade. There's got to be, you know, you can't be tampering with the process. So I'm not dismissing that Giancarlo doesn't, you know, just says, hey, you know, I'm not ready to commit to the Giants or the Cardinals. And then next thing you know, at the winter meetings, the Dodgers situation really kind of, you know, really mushrooms. But I'm not sure we're there. You know, there's a lot of still uncertainty. Although, you know, realistically, a deal could fall into place at any moment, any day, and it is not uncommon for major moves to happen right on the brink of the winter meetings. But I do see this. I do not see it really lasting past the winter meetings. I think some sort of resolution will be reached by then.
What do you make of the players getting involved? Because Hunter Pence tweeted to Giancarlo Stanton, can you imagine our powers combined? And then Dexter Fowler basically came back and said, not sure that that's good job security for you. Hashtag come flex with Dex. I mean, and then Stanton went and liked Hunter Pence's tweet, which created a whole firestorm on Twitter. What do you make of all this going on?
I think it's a reflection of where we are. I mean, it's funny. You see fans interacting with media, with the players. You see, you know, teammates hitting likes on funny little tweets. And, you know, it is taken on a life of its own. And I why not? I mean, you know, you can actually do that. You're not really tampering with anything. You just kind of make it seem like, hey, you're wanted here. And, yeah, I think it's kind of funny. It makes this entertaining at another level. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure Stan probably gets a kick out of it. And, you know, Hunter Pence is known for doing such things. So I think it's all part of, you know, where we are. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty and the specifics, that has to be worked out with the Giants, the Marlins, and then obviously Camp Stanton to find out where it is. Now, I threw a tweet out last night because I was, you know, kind of secondhand. If the Giants indeed, you know, rise to a level where Stanton says yes, there was speculation from some of my people that Barry Bonds may be actively involved in this. Now, I don't have evidence that they had a number of conversations, but I do know that while Stanton was pursuing 60 homers, he was regularly corresponding with Barry for advice. And yeah, people are noting they may not have had the warmest relationship in 2016 when they were here in Miami, but, you know, they are still, you know, they are still friends at a certain level. And if you're Stanton making a career-changing move, wouldn't you want the opinion of Barry Bonds? He certainly knows everything about the Giants.
Yeah, the most interesting thing, too, though, with the Barry Bonds saga is the record and how Giancarlo Stanton doesn't recognize Barry Bonds' record as the home run record, or, you know, at least was that was part of the media talking about the two of them together. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well as an extra edge to this story. But I saw you tweeting that out in terms of Barry Bonds getting involved or potentially getting involved. We're not sure. So I thought that was really interesting. So let me ask you this real quick about the Dodgers. If they're just kind of laying, you know, and waiting and trying to figure out the Giants' move first, is there a chance they swoop in at the end? I mean, and they can beat the Giants' deal and still be below the luxury tax? Because obviously that's the biggest concern for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing all sorts of scenarios. Does that mean, obviously at some level, the Marlins are going to have to take on some degree of money, whether, let's say, he's traded to San Francisco and the Marlins pick up $40 million of the remaining over X number of years. For the Dodgers, do the Dodgers insist you take Adrian Gonzalez's $20 million off their hands, and that's the move that's made, along with whatever prospects would come along? So that would be fascinating. The only problem I have with the Dodgers, or confusion I have with the Dodgers, and a lot more people a lot smarter than me could probably figure this out, is this is a complicated trade because of the money involved and the opt out and the full no trade, that I don't understand how, and from my knowledge, and I don't think I'm being played there, they haven't had serious discussions. So how do you, in a matter of hours, you know, wrap up what has been taking other teams months and weeks to really get down to how to make that salary work for them? And that's my confusion there, and that's not to say that at some point during the winter meeting, Stanton says, you know what, I don't really want to go to St. Louis or San Francisco. I'm going to just kind of gamble. I'll see if the Dodgers sincerely want me. Or do I just want to go back to Miami? And, you know, it's a scenario that, you know, we've discussed on the podcast before. I don't see that very likely. But I don't know if anything has changed, because we're really not getting any clarity there. If the Marlins have a Stanton come back scenario that they could fit him in, meet payroll parameters, and build the franchise the way they want. So it could be a game of chicken, you know, a staring contest to some degree. That, you know, how do you go there? But I think that's all part of a very fascinating storyline that, you know, continues to take a lot of twists and turns.
The other interesting name being thrown out is Marcelo Zuna. I'm not sure why the Marlins would trade him, though. There's really no urgency, and he's affordable. So, first of all, what is his market like, and why would they be listening to trade offers for Marcelo Zuna?
Because he's probably going to bring the biggest return. You know, he has two more years in arbitration. He does have Scott Boras as his agent. The Marlins are not confident that Zuna will be receptive to signing an extension, which, you know, immediately makes him a vulnerable trade piece. And as you note, you know, he'll probably get close to, I mean, projections are just a little under $11 million for that kind of production. Pretty much the same market for Stanton, that's looking for a right-handed outfield power bat. And the two teams the most interested in Stanton, the Cardinals and Giants, and sure would be right at the forefront of a potential Ozuna trade. And Ozuna, you know, there's not going to be the hurdles of no trade, the taking on any of salary, and I do believe you can probably go to St. Louis right now and trade him and get, you know, two of the Cardinals' top 10 pitching prospects that are in the upper, you know, minor league levels that could be in this Marlin rotation, if not this season, certainly by 19 if he fixtures in the rotation for years to come.
All right, Joe, as we wrap up here on our winter meetings preview, we want to ask you your favorite winter meetings you've ever covered as you get set to head down to Lake Buena Vista.
Well, the favorite probably was last year, and it's only for the fact that it was marginally busy and we got a lot of internal work done for the Marlins, for MLB.com. We had a lot of good stuff. But the most memorable one is 2011 when the Marlins, you know, they're transitioning from the Florida Marlins to the Miami Marlins, moving into Marlins Park, and they had Ozzie Guillen as their manager, and in a three-day span, they signed three free agents for a combined cost of $191 million, and those were Jose Reyes, Heath Bell, and Mark Burley. And the Marlins, from the moment they walked into the lobby on Sunday, were making major news, and not only did they sign three of the top free agents on the market that year, they were heavily in on Albert Pujols and C.J. Wilson. So they literally were, every time you turned around in 2011, the Marlins were at the forefront, and literally every major name the Marlins were attached to. One of the funny nights when it looked like they possibly could have signed Pujols, I believe it was the Tuesday night of it, they were bunkered up in their suite, and they ordered 16 pizzas, and they dispatched somebody to the lobby, and I just happened to be standing there. And as everyone's looking for Jeffrey Loria and you know, all the main Marlin people to come down, you know, they didn't all recognize who came down. And I'm like, what are you doing? I see him. He's got like 16 boxes of pizza and a bunch of breadsticks. He's bringing it up to the suite. I tweeted that out, and my name was trending in St. Louis moments later after that one. But, yeah, it was just kind of wall-to-wall Marlins news. Now, the flip side of that was, you know, the Marlins were seen as a team that kind of won the offseason. Well, the 2012 season, as history will remind, sadly for Marlins fans, turned into a complete disaster. Ozzie Guillen, Heath Bell, Jose Reyes, Mark Burley, none of them were with the organization by the time the 2012 winter meetings started. So it's also a reminder that you could be very active at the winter meetings when the end result on the field may not live up to the hype.
Well, it's going to be incredible to see probably that the 2017 winter meetings is going to top in terms of how active they are, the 2011 winter meetings. So get ready for some excitement. I got some goosebumps for this Marlins team. I know it's going to be a pretty incredible to be down there and be in the lobby there of the hotel, seeing all the buzz and following these stories, Joe. So really appreciate you joining us, and enjoy the winter meetings. We'll check in next week.